Good evening, everyone.
Good
Good
evening.
evening. We would like to welcome everyone to the February 16th Berkeley County Board of Commissioners meeting. At this time, we will have our roll call coming from Madam Clerk.
Chair Corey Ballance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hogger.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have quorum.
Okay, thank you so much. We will now have our invocation and Pledge of Allegiance by Vice Chair Hogger.
Stand if you want to, please. Always stand on the word of God. Don't fall down. Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our sovereign, that who has brought us thus far in the way, that who has by their might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places we met. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we shout of beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much, Vice Chair. Mm-hmm. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves for our public comments. We would like for everyone to be mindful. We have several comments that will be made on. Public comment session towards the end of the meeting as well. So if you don't get a chance, or you should get a chance if you like, on the front side of the meeting, but you can also get an opportunity on the back side of the meeting. Is that okay? At this time, Madam Clerk, public comments.
Good evening, Chairman Ballance and Commissioners. My name is Rachel, and I'm here on behalf of PETA and our more than 169,000 members and supporters in North Carolina. Thank you for finally having this long overdue discussion about animal care standards in Bertie. In recent months, PETA has found chained dogs who died of starvation, dogs suffering with collars embedded so deeply in their necks that surgical removal was required, and in one case, the dog had to be euthanized. Dogs dying of neglect at the end of chains, and dogs on chains in sub-freezing temperatures unable to escape the elements. Dogs are pack animals who feel pain, love, fear, and loneliness just like we do. Experts agree that dogs who are chained suffer not only physically but psychologically, and chained dogs can often become territorial and aggressive, leaving children and the elderly vulnerable to attacks. It is time for the commissioners to protect the dogs and people by banning, tethering, and implementing animal care standards that advance welfare and public safety. PETA has invited every commissioner to join us in the field for just one day to meet just a few of the dogs who so desperately need your help, and we appreciate Commissioner Saunders for taking us up on the offer. Please join the more than 900 jurisdictions around the country who have said no more to chaining. And if I could just say to any hunters who might be hunters here tonight or listening via Zoom, we want to talk and we would welcome a conversation about how we can find common ground and work together to improve animal welfare standards in the county. You too are invited to join us in the field. And we have no doubt that if you saw the pervasive neglect, cruelty, and suffering out there, you would join us in this effort. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Rachel.
Chair, I'm not sure if she's on Zoom, but Jennifer Hall.
Ms. Jennifer Hall? Okay, moving right along, Madam Clerk.
Also on Zoom, Michelle Disney.
Ms. Michelle Disney. Okay, moving right along. Okay, let's give her a moment. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Disney, and I have volunteered for about 8 years with organizations that build fences for chained dogs. And I've seen how eliminating the chaining of dogs not only improves the welfare of the animals, but it also transforms the community, making neighborhoods safer and helping families improve their lives with their pets. The chaining ordinance that will be introduced later in this meeting is important for two reasons. It will help ensure the safety of citizens, but also it will ensure the humane treatment of animals. First, regarding the safety of citizens, chaining dogs makes them more aggressive. Per the American College of Veterinary Behavior, chained dogs become frustrated, territorial, and that can often manifest as aggression. In fact, CDC physicians have found that chained dogs were 2.8 times more likely to attack than dogs who were not tethered. This means that getting dogs off of chains helps reduce dog bites and attacks significantly. It's also important to know nearly 75% of those injured by chained dogs between 2003 and 2021, when a study was done, were children. Children in the home or in the neighborhood often wander too close to a chained dog, leading to injuries and sometimes even death. Also, in terms of community impact, chained dogs are much more susceptible to unwanted breeding as they are exposed outdoors to other roaming dogs. And this leads to unwanted litters of puppies, which strains the county shelter and community resources. Next, this ordinance will help ensure the humane treatment of animals. And it's important to know that chained dogs suffer greatly in many ways. This ordinance would help prevent suffering, such as embedded collars, where it grows painfully into the dog's skin. Chained dogs often get leg and neck injuries due to the strain of heavy chains. They can choke to death if they try to escape and jump over a nearby object like a car. Chained dogs are also at high risk of knocking over their food and water dishes, leaving them with no hydration and food that may fall outside of their chained area. They are also very vulnerable because they're completely exposed with no way to escape. They are often victims of abuse. They can be shot, poisoned, stabbed. They can be stolen for dog fighting. And a chained dog cannot protect itself against wild animals. For these and many other reasons, I respectfully ask the Board of Commissioners to please pass a comprehensive ordinance that bans chains. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Disney.
Ms. Jean, I'm sorry, Ms. Jean, I don't want to. There you go.
Hi, I'm a little bit, I was here a couple months ago. I just want to follow up, keep everything going here. I understand there were bids out for the fire station out there in Midway. I don't know if you got bids, didn't get bids, what's the next step in all of that? I don't expect an answer, but I just want to make sure that it's still top of mind for all of you. We discussed when I was here previously, we all sadly know the incident that happened out there, the drowning out there at the public beach. And we talked at that time about doing something so that people going to the beach know where that drop off is. I myself am not a big swimmer. I don't know where it is. And I think when you have a big drop off like that, we're just waiting for another tragic accident to happen. The other thing is, I'm not a sports fan, but was it the Daytona, whatever, 500 yesterday? I think that the preliminaries for that were on Old Mary Hill Road. That construction out there, those log trucks, I thank my neighbor Gail, who was instrumental. Trying to get your mail at the post office is taking your life in your hands. And I know we had a temporary little thing going on out there, but it's worse than ever. It's dangerous. These are huge. Yeah, it's a Philly girl. They're gigantic trucks with gigantic logs that are zooming around that bend. It's horrific. And once again, come on out and spend the afternoon and watch them go. And then just talking about safety and so certainly all of our friends here. We talk about the safety of people, but also I'd like to put a plug in for the safety of the animals. Back in November, several of my colleagues and neighbors and friends put in applications to be on the advisory board for the Berkshire County Humane Society, and they've yet to hear anything. So here we are in February, going into March. You have people that are coming forward that have the expertise that want to help, and they're not hearing anything. So I would just ask that if these items could be followed up on, you have my name. You can just say Jean. You don't have to say the last name. Please reach out to me, and maybe we can get some of this stuff accomplished for the safety of the people as well as the animals. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Jean.
Beth Northcott.
Good to see everyone here tonight. We all have so much in common, from our houndsmen over here to PETA to just animal loving families. We're all passionate, and that's why we're here. We're sharing concerns. I don't know about you, but every time I see an animal cruelty case, I just wince. It hurts my heart. It literally makes it break. We're human beings doing something like that to a helpless animal. We see it on the news, the local news. It brings it into each of our homes every night. We can all agree that this doesn't help the optics of how others see Berkshire County. We have many factors piled up against us as a county, so why not address this? That'll be one thing off your plate. You won't have to keep seeing me and the rest of my friends come in and talk to you about animals. There'll be a whole nother group of people with a whole nother group of problems.
Well, they lined up.
I'm at a loss because people say education is the key, but I don't know if you can actually educate an adult to be compassionate. Can you educate them to be humane or sympathetic or merciful? Can those traits be instilled into adults that are perhaps callous, contemptible, maybe even sociopathic? Because animal cruelty is how a lot of serial killers start out. We agree that we all want our pets to be taken care of. Let's come together. Talk is cheap, but actions deliver results. I'd really like to hear a couple of suggestions from the board, those in attendance, Berkshire County Sheriff's Department with animal control, and our hunters. I mean, you guys spend a lot of money for your dogs and your equipment. You don't chain them up. So this really, I guess, doesn't affect you. But you guys pay a lot of money for your dogs and equipment, so I would think you would want them well taken care of as well. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Norwood.
Bobby, is it Parrott?
I'm Bobby Harris from Camden County. I'm president of Albemarle Hangman Association. We organized 30 years ago to keep the right to hunt with dogs, because that is our heritage in North Carolina. We are opposed to the tethering bill. Some dogs you can't keep in pens. One of the best dogs I got, if it thunders, she's coming out of there. If she ain't out of the pen, her pen, she'll be four pens down on. And I got cement pens with 10-foot welded wire, but she gets scared she's going somewhere. But we are certainly opposed to that. We are certainly opposed to, there's enough laws on the books right now to take care of the problem. If somebody is inhumane, and as hunters, we love our dogs. My wife says I love my dogs better than I do her. Back 30-some years ago, she knitted a little thing. I love my husband, but damn them dogs. But anyway, we try to keep the right to hunt with dogs. We've been over here before several times. 10 years ago, we filled the courthouse up. But we would certainly appreciate to keep it like it is and just enforce the laws that's already on the book. If somebody's inhumane to a dog, not giving them water, not feeding them, not getting them properly shade for the dogs, we oppose to that. But we're not in favor of the tethering, where they got to where they stop you from tethering, because some dogs will not stay in a pen. And we've got a banquet the 14th of March in Elizabeth City, which we've sent y'all invitations to. I'd like to talk to the gentleman down there. Come at 2 o'clock, you get all the best oysters you can eat and pick on the pig, and then we'll eat at 4. If you go away hungry, it's your own fault. Thank you. That's at the 4-H building in Elizabeth City.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Wayne White.
Hello, I'm Wayne Twyford, Currituck County. I'm a member of Albemarle Houndsman Association, and I'm going to speak in behalf of all the people over here that hunt with dogs. As Mr. Harris said, we all love our dogs. We're not going to hurt our dogs. There are certain reasons why we have to chain our dogs, for simple reason. You know, if they get scared, they come out of some of them. And it's part of the training where you can handle a dog. You know, you teach them how to get in the truck. You teach how to handle them. We put them on chains for a period of time so that they learn us. If you just put them in a pen, then the dog don't get to know you as well. So that's part of our training too. But like he said, there's already ordinances, laws on the books to take care of the problems, you know, and I've seen it myself with people that don't take care of their dogs, that leave them out there in the elements, no hay in their barrels and stuff, give them a good shelter. But I'm just here to say that I am opposed to any more laws on the books for that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thank you.
Is it Eddie Bell?
Eddie Bell for Camden County. I just wanted to echo Bobby and Wayne's thoughts. I had the same feelings they do. There's plenty of laws on the books to cover animal cruelty, and I'm against the ordinance for tethering.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Deborah Thalo.
Good evening, commissioners. As most of you have been here well know, I've been here many times talking about animal rights and animal cruelty that is unfortunately persistent in Bertie County and of great concern to me. I know that a lot of people are here talking about tethering, but I wanted to also just make you all aware that there is a program out there regarding animal care standards in general called the North Carolina Spay and Neuter Assistance Program, or NC-SPAN. It is administered through the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and was started in 2001 to reduce stray animal populations by removing the cost burden of spay and neutering pets for low-income families. So it is income-based with eligibility tied to the federal poverty guidelines and targets the residents who otherwise cannot afford pet sterilization. A qualifying resident applies and gets a voucher. They take the pet to a participating veterinarian. Dr. Cheryl Powell is willing to be one of the veterinarians who would accept their very low payouts, but she'll do it. And Rachel at PETA, I had talked to her in the past, and they'd be willing to send a van to pick animals up and take them, because prevention is a part of this problem. After that, the county receives state reimbursement at up to 100% for tier one counties. So this could be a free program for low-income families to take care of getting their animals spayed and neutered. And so as you consider reasonable standards of care, I would just urge you to include affordable prevention in that discussion, because enforcement only addresses suffering of animals after it occurs, unfortunately. And if we want different outcomes, we must be willing to look at new solutions. That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
John Babylon?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to say anything? Okay. Rebecca?
Yeah, you signed us up.
Okay. Victoria? No idea.
There she is.
Say good evening to everybody that came tonight. For those of you who do not know me, I am one of the rabies vaccinators for Bertie County. I'm a former employee of Bertie County Humane Society. I formerly was the jail nurse at Bertie Martin Regional Jail for 8 years. I am here tonight to speak up about some of the things that I have seen as an employee of Bertie County. The abuse of animals is horrible here in Bertie County. I've been here for 18 years.
You can pick up that mic if you like. Just pick it right up.
I'm sorry, I don't speak very loud. Thank you. I am just going to mention a couple of things that I have seen. If you have never seen an embedded collar in a dog, you don't want to. When the neck is partially, this dog was almost to the point of being decapitated. This was a young dog, less than a year old. The neighbors. The neighbors.
She talks very soft. Man.
The neighbors reported it because they had not seen the dog for 2 or 3 days. Well, while the people that owned the dog were at work, the neighbor went over to check. Found the dog in the barn. Well, it not only had an embedded collar, it had been tied up with electrical cord. The smell, the horrible look on that dog's face when it came in. I've seen it more than once. A beautiful Great Dane came into Bertie shelter. Dog should have weighed about 125 pounds. The dog weighed 78 pounds. Now, our former sheriff was going to let the owner have that dog back. Well, upon the sheriff being requested to come take pictures of that dog, he decided that maybe that was not a good idea. And you know how we kept that dog from going back to its owner? After we took the dog to the vet, we told the owner, yes, you can have that dog back if you pay what the Humane Society has paid for the vet to see the dog. These are just some of the horrible stories, some of the things I've seen out there. I question the mental status of anybody that abuses a dog the way the most recent ones have been abused and treated. I worry about coming in contact with those people. As being at the shelter, I used to be a shelter caretaker. I've been called names. I've been threatened because I said, I will not adopt you. Where are you going to keep this dog? Well, I'm going to put it on a chain. I said, they are not security. Do not use them for security purposes. Get yourself a camera. Do not leave them out. I am, yes. I'm just here to say we need to change things in Bertie County. We can do better. Thank you.
Can we just pause for a second? Is there any way we could slide that table up to allow some more room for it? But outside. Keep on coming. You all, as many as you can come on in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Madam Clerk. Okay.
Jonathan Stalls.
Good evening. I'm Jonathan Stalls.
Good evening.
I really don't need a microphone, but anyway, just following up Mr. Bobby and Mr. Wayne, I don't agree with the tether. There is ways to do it in the right manner. Putting a chain around a dog's neck is not the right way. All of us hounds, when we use collars and tethers, when we put them out, I think if we'd educate a little bit more to the ones that are doing that and not try to take it out as a whole group, then I think that would be the ideal thing also. Second thing I have tonight is when this come about, I looked up on the county website trying to get some contact information to be able to reach out to county commissioners and to discuss this. There's one phone number on that website under county commissioners. Ms. Saunders, thank you, Commissioner, for talking with me about this and being able to reach out. Unfortunately, I was not able to reach out and talk to any of y'all. So, and then also, I'm going to end on this because looking at some of these pictures, if you don't feed and water a dog, it ain't going to make a difference. Us houndsmen and the ones that really love our animals, we take care of them. So I think if we educate these folks of what needs to be done for these dogs that the others are having the pictures of and finding, that would be a more ideal thing than trying to come up with more rules and regulations. Thank y'all.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Goss.
John Davis.
John Davis, born in Windsor, live in Mary Hill. Thank all you folks for coming a long distance to be here in Berkeley County tonight. We're glad to be with you, Berkeley County Commissioners. So, yeah, I spoke to some of you guys, and yes, there is a state law that provides a lot of protection to animals, but there is no law that protects them from tethering. No. So, in the Bible, it talks about, and I know some of you guys are very firm believers of this, talks about man having dominion over animals. God made the animals, and then he made man. So we're supposed to be looking out for them. And you see that hunters and people who are houndsmen who want to do their sport will travel a long way to make sure that they have the freedom to do that. And that's a wonderful thing. Respect and thank them all for being here. I think the number of sportsmen who abuse their animals is extremely small, almost non-statistically significant number. And those are not the people I'm worried about. You can pass an ordinance that will allow those people to tether if they meet certain criteria. Now, some of those folks that are here are not going to like that because they don't want any ordinance. They like the freedom of managing their animals. Short-term tethering for training of animals, but nobody wants to live on a leash 24/7. I had to get off the leash tonight. My wife let me off. I'm glad she did. I'm going to take a while getting back home. This is not an easy thing to do, guys, but there's too many animals dying of neglect. If I'm on a chain and my master's not feeding and watering me, I don't have an easy way to get away. Okay? And if I am a houndsman abusing my dogs, they will get away too, because I've seen a lot of them come and bask on the area I live in. And I call the owners up and they come and get them. So yeah, they have a lot of money invested. You're going to have to talk to some of these guys and find out a way to make this work. But I can tell you this, it's easy to speak of something that is passionate to your heart. I was glad to see Mr. Stahl speak because I believe he lives here in Berkeley County. So there's a lot of us here in Berkeley County. Some of us are houndsmen, some of us are not. We need to take care of our animals. We need some leadership out of you guys. Doing nothing is not going to work. So you got to try to find a way to keep the sportsmen happy, and you got to find a way for people who are taking care of pets who are living on a chain their entire life and dying on a chain. That's got to stop, gentlemen, ladies. Thank y'all. Appreciate the work you do. Thank you.
Kelly Otero.
Good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here to ask
you to consider banning continuous chaining and tethering of dogs in this county because of the severe negative impact it has on their physical and mental health. When a dog is left on a chain day after day, something happens to them. They don't just lose freedom, they lose stimulation, companionship, protection, and dignity. Chaining limits every natural instinct a dog has. They cannot run or play. They cannot escape the freezing wind in winter or the brutal heat in the summer. They cannot defend themselves from other dogs or wildlife. Chaining also leads to unwanted puppies because most of the time the dogs are not spayed or neutered. And too often they are simply forgotten. When a dog lives at the end of a chain, behind a house, or tied to a tree, they fade from sight. Water bowls tip over and sit empty, and food is missed. Because they are out of view, their suffering becomes easy to ignore. We have seen what this leads to: embedded collars growing into skin, severe weight loss, untreated wounds, and dogs unable to reach their food or water. Dogs are found dead, still attached to the very chain that confined them, not because they were beyond help, but because prolonged tethering makes neglect easy. A dog on a chain depends entirely on someone remembering them every single day. And history shows that too often they are forgotten. Continuous tethering is not humane. It's isolation, restriction, and neglect. This is about setting a clear, enforceable standard that protects vulnerable animals from suffering in silence. It is about preventing the kind of suffering that we've already witnessed in this county, the death of Draco, Juju, and Eve. Bertie County has the opportunity to lead with compassion and responsibility, to say clearly that dogs deserve more than a life at the end of a chain. Please consider strengthening the ordinance to protect these animals. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next, we have David Perry.
David Perry?
Yeah, well, thank you for your time. Everybody hear me? First of all, the majority of the people of Bertie County, I'm a lifetime resident, take care of the dogs and their animals. It would appear to me, after watching the situation and the publicity that we are receiving negatively, I see the UPETA people find a way to get in front of the courthouse and have your little parade, and you get on Channel 7, and all this adverse is affecting who? The good people of Bertie County. I think this, you bureaucrats, and you've served your purpose. You need to go on back to Virginia and let Bertie County take care of Bertie County's problems. We've always done that. There's enough rules and regulations on the books right now to protect dogs, and I haven't heard a word about the cats. Yeah. So I want you to think about what you're doing here. We are the people of Bertie County. We pay the taxes. These people from Virginia don't pay anything. By the way, how much dog food are you people bringing in here to feed the animals? Huh?
This is not a
well,
debate.
It's my turn
this
to
is not
talk.
A debate session. This is not a, okay, wait a minute. This is not a debate session. This is 3-minute comment.
Public so comment. I'm against this. All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Next. Okay. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your public comments. There will be another session towards the end of our meeting to allow anybody else that have public comments they would like to make. Now we will move to reports and appointments. 2026 primary election updates by Elections Director LaToya Peel. Is she present? Okay. We'll now allow Madam Clerk to speak on her behalf.
Parents, can you pull up the presentation, please, for the Board of Elections?
Light needs to be turned up.
Manager, it's up here.
Do we need to come back to this portion or?
There you go.
Got it.
Okay.
Brush Junior say.
Okay, so on behalf of Direct Appeal, since she could not be here tonight for since she's
can we have
elections.
can we have a little order, please? Can we have a little order?
Hit the gavel.
Yep. Your mic is on, right, Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir.
Thank you all. You can proceed.
Direct Appeal cannot be here tonight. She is working at the elections office.
You might have to pick that mic up.
Okay. But she asked me to go over this for her. It's the 26 primary elections, general information. The primary election is a partisan countywide election. The primary election date is Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. Polls are open from 6:30 to 7:30, with 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. The political parties in the primary election include the Democratic and Republican. The Green Party and the Libertarian Party will not have a primary election. During primary elections, voters must vote in the party in which they are registered. Voters must state their name, address, and party to the precinct officials and present the acceptable voter ID photo. Unaffiliated voters. Unaffiliated voters may choose which political party they would like to vote for, either Democratic or Republican. 17-year-old voters. Voters who are 17 are allowed to vote in a primary election as long as they will be 18 by November general election. And the general election date is Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2026. 2026 primary offices, federal and state county offices, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, North Carolina Court of Appeals, seat 1 and seat 3C. Federal and state county offices also is North Carolina Senate District, NC House of Representatives, and County Commissioner District 5 and Sheriff. Candidates who will not appear on the primary ballot. The following local candidates listed below are declared nominees for their representative parties of the office sought. As a result, these candidates will not appear on a primary election ballot. These candidates will appear on a November 3rd general election ballot, which will be Corey Ballot Sr., County Commissioner District 3, Miles Davis, County Commissioner District 2, and Angela Todd, clerk to the court. And note that these are also state candidates who are nominees and will appear on a general election ballot. Absentee ballots. Absentee ballot mail-out begins on January 12, 2026. A voter can fill out an absentee ballot request form at votebymail.ncsbe.gov or by filling out a request form at the Burt T. County Board of Elections office. The form can also be mailed to the requester's address. The request must be received through the website or by the Burt T. County
Board of Elections by 5 p.m. on February 17, 2026. The deadline to return absentee ballots is Tuesday, March the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Voter assistance. Who may receive voter assistance? A voter is entitled to assistance from near relatives. As you can see up here, if y'all want me to read each one, I will. It's spouse, brother, sister, parent, grandparent, child, grandchild, step-parent, stepchild, mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. Disabled veterans may receive the following forms for assistance: anyone except an employer's or union representative. Assistance in making a ballot due to physical disability, illiteracy, blindness. Entering the voting booth due to physical disabilities or blindness. Voter assistance log. These are citizens who entered a polling place to assist a voter and does not vote must be their name. Their name must be recorded on the voter assistance log. The citizens must name must be written on the log each time they provide assistance without voting. If you are a candidate of a ballot, you are only allowed to provide assistance if you are near relative of the voter. Registration deadline is Friday, February 6th at 5 p.m. Address changes to allow if the voter moved more than 30 days, the 30 days before the primary election is February 3rd. If the voter moved less than 30 days, they will have to vote under their old address. The voter may complete a voter registration form and their address will be updated after the election. Same day registration is available for residents who missed the February 6th voter registration deadline. Citizens may register or vote at a early voting location. Same day registrations must provide a proof of residence document listing their current name and address. Proof of registry would be your current photo, driver's license or identification card, a photo I issued by a government agency, or a document showing your name and current address, like your utility bill, water bill, housing identification card, lease agreement, something like that. Early voting locations is here in Windsor at the Bertie County Board of Elections, at the Pilesville Town Hall, the Lewiston Woodville Fire Department, and the early voting dates and hours is Thursday, February the 12th, which is past. Let's go down to where we are. Monday, the 16th through Friday, February the 20th is 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday, February 23rd through Friday, February 27th, same time, 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And Saturday, February 28th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Voter registration repair project. A statewide registration repair project is an effort for the State Board of Elections to collect identification numbers from registered voters who do not have a North Carolina's driver's license, DMV ID number, or Social Security number in the state's voter registration database. These numbers are used to verify that registrants are who they claim to be. Voters who do not have this information in their record may need to cast a provisional ballot or provide this information at the next time they vote. Bertie, again, with 305 repair voters, as of now, we have 221. These are the voter acceptable voter IDs, which is the driver's license, identification card, and your passport.
A voter does not have an acceptable voter ID card. So, what happened? We're at the end. No voter will be turned away from the polls. If the voter does not have an acceptable voter photo ID, the voter may proceed to the vote in one of the following ways. Voter will complete a photo ID exception form and will complete a provisional ballot. Voter may note a provisional ballot and bring their photo ID in person to the elections office 3 days after the election, Friday, March the 6th, by 12 p.m. And if there were any questions or concerns, please contact Ms. Latoya Peel, the Director of Elections.
Thank you so much. Next line item, non-emergency transport by Mr. Tim Bazemore.
Good afternoon. We have some other non-emergency transport owners who are here with me tonight. They will come up. Realize we have a long agenda. I'll try to keep our comments abbreviated as much as possible, and I would ask that you allow them to make a couple comments if they will, please. Obviously, as you well know, the state entrusts you or put the burden of emergency services squarely on you all's shoulder. And you alone controls what happens in this county. Mm-hmm. As I have looked around in other counties and Bertie County, when you look at the land mass and the number of people per square miles, emergency services here are not doing bad. Don't have a lot of money, but what they're doing, I think they're utilizing it fairly well. Non-emergency, and again, my job, the purpose is not to tell you what to do or insinuate, but to educate you enough so you can make an informed decision. Non-emergency, you can pretty much get a good idea what's needed and what's not needed simply by listening to nursing facilities, your neighbors who basically say, hey, I cannot get an ambulance to take my mom to Dallas's or wherever the case may be. If you're not hearing that, then obviously it's well taken care of. They have proper insurance. Sometimes, and this is what I've learned, I've done this for 25 years. If we expand too rapidly and too fast, then my question becomes to myself, how well am I serving the people that I'm around? How well am I watching the people who are working with me? How well do I hear the complaints from the neighborhood? Also, sometimes if you get too many non-emergency services in one area, it becomes highly competitive. When it becomes highly competitive, then it may cause one of the services to transport people who are not really qualified. Then they will get in trouble with the state and the feds. That causes a lot of problems throughout the county. So that's something you don't want. You don't want too many people here. In the last 12 to 18 months, we have taken a couple contracts, not countywide, but from nursing facilities. We we accepted it because the needs were not being met by the current medical transport service. And I think that's been a number of places. Also, I would remind you, for those who may not know, I think it was back in 2014, there was an ambulance service in Johnston County called JAS, Johnston Ambulance Service. They employed 400 employees throughout the state of North Carolina. They closed overnight. It was chaos throughout the state and every area they serve. And it was not good. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. If you're too big, then how well can you serve? And then the other part of it is that I would say, because you are in charge of emergency services. If you have a number and nobody's pushed out of business and it appears that we have enough to serve Berkeley County, particularly with the non-emergency services that the county has, which it can be lucrative if it's run properly. But if there was a major catastrophe somewhere in the county, then you have a number of people that you can pull from that you know are going to be here, and they can pull the resources here and help the local services. So in short, I'm saying, if it's not broke, if it's not broken, there's no need to fix it. And I'll yield some time to colleagues.
Good evening. I'm Netta Lipscomb with Berkeley Ambulance Service. I agree with everything that Tim had to say, basically. I do have a few things that I would like each of you to consider or investigate before it comes up about this franchise. I would like for you all to ask yourselves, is it really necessary, as Tim said, to have another service in the county? I don't know. I don't think any of you were board many years ago when we had six or seven maybe franchised in the county, and it was chaos. You remember. Most of those are no longer in the county. It's a few of us left. Please keep that in mind. Another thing I would like for you to look into is the actual need. I want you to realize that an ambulance service is not a taxi service. We have strict guidelines that we have to abide by. We can't transport a patient that can walk, not unless that patient is mentally just incapable of protecting themselves. We have to ensure that. But just keep in mind that most patients have to either be bedbound or, for whatever reason, unable to be transported safely to qualify for an ambulance transport. How many patients do you know around the county living in their homes that just are bedbound patients or cannot safely go by another means? Please keep that in mind. I'm not talking about nursing home patients that require services. Also, when you open it up to many ambulance services, you do open up the possibility of fraud. Keep that in mind. That happens to almost everybody. Another thing too, please keep in mind, I've been in business 30 years this year in Berkeley County. Keep in mind, and just like Tim, what, 25 years, you know, we are your local people. We are your taxpaying people. We employ county employees where we can. We help people. Just, you know, please consider that when you go to make a decision on allowing an outside agency to come into our county.
Where's White Oak? I know they're part of it too, though. I mean, White Oak, is that in Berkeley? I'll just ask. Yeah.
White Oak is still franchised.
Here. Okay.
Yeah, they moved up. Yeah. Okay. They still come over and service the county some, but they no longer have an office here.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I think.
What's this? That's it.
I mean, as
I
far as
being
that, yeah. I know.
Okay. Mr. Davis, you have something? Right, sir?
Yes. I'm actually just retired. I was the general manager for Berkeley Ambulance Service when all this was coming about. That's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And the Lipscombs have been here for 30 years. Good times and bad times, 30 years. Tim and his crowd has been here 25 years. When they first started, there weren't a whole lot of competition other than them.
You had her.
And they handled things. Well, we kept bringing people in, and I understand that's the way the economy works. And look at how many people came in that are no longer in business. When Tim first started, I bet most of his work was in Berkeley County. When Bass first started, most of his space was in Berkeley County. We've all had to expand out and go to other places because we keep bringing people in that takes away our livelihood for dealing with our own people. So we're shooting ourselves in the foot with dealing with our own people. But we're still here, and we want to stay here. But if we keep bringing people in, we're going to have to expand some more. We're going further out.
That what happened to your hair? Okay.
But the bottom line is, you got a system that works here now. Why are we going to keep throwing something? If you throw enough flour into water, it's going to clot up and it's not going to be worth anything to cook with. We keep throwing flour into this process and we're going to shut it down. Now, if something happens to this camel PMS and they need help, they call us. They know we're coming. That's part of our franchise. Right? We back them up. And we're more than happy to do that. I'm here part-time Bertie and part-time Wake County. I'm here tonight because this issue is important. Not just for you guys, and it is. Not just for these guys, but for everybody in this county. It's extremely important that we tread lightly. Be careful what you're inviting in. Sometimes that silver bullet is not a silver bullet to put on the shelf. It's a silver bullet that's going to take you down. We don't want anybody to lose a family member or have problems because things shut down. If something shuts down, we're in trouble. The county is still running some non-emergency transport. Why? Y'all smart people. Why do you want to bring another company in that's going to take away from what little bit you still got with the non-emergency transport? That's going to cost you even more money. Instead of the emergency transport helping y'all, you shoot yourself in the foot. It causes you even more harm. I don't understand the concept. I'm sure there's, y'all got some numbers or something that can figure that out better than me. My thing is common sense says you got what you need here. There's more services here than this county needs. Why bring more in? Why water everything down? They've made a living, and they have made a living for a lot of people by taking care of Bertie County and then having to spend to take care of where else. We need to keep it like that. We need our local people supplying jobs to our local people. Not outside people come in and say, oh, yeah, we're going to hire your people. Yeah, sounds good. But are you? And I've heard some say, well, we put 14 trucks. I can put that. Well, I couldn't now. But 4 weeks ago, I could put 14 trucks in one of them. I couldn't put enough people to run those 14 trucks, not do what we're already doing. So don't let somebody sling numbers and tell you, oh, it's gravy. Because I've had good gravy and I've had bad gravy. And I don't want this county to be eating some really bad gravy. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. Please give us a lot of strict consideration. Do a whole lot of homework. There's a lot of homework out there. Contact me and I'll give you some information. Division if you want it. If I help with your homework, be more than happy to. This county is important to everybody in this room. This county is important to me, to these people, and to everybody in this county. And we need to look at our county and our own people. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We have to stay with the agenda. We have to stay with the agenda. You can come back during public comments. Next line item. Report of 2025 unpaid real and personal property taxes. Order to advertise 2025 tax liens and 2028 reappraisal update by Mr. Jody Ray. How you doing, Mr.
Good
Jody?
Fine. Good evening.
All right.
First thing we'll do is first thing is the total unpaid taxes for fiscal year 2025. As of January 26th, real property unpaid was $1,189,762.05. Personal property was $149,427.03 for a total of $1,339,234.08. That's about $140,000 up from that time last year. As of today, that total has dropped to $1,147,971.30.
Say that again. $1,147,971.30
as of today.
Bush.
I would need an order to advertise for these for the 2025 unpaid real property taxes.
Okay.
Motion.
Yeah. At this time, we need a motion on the floor to allow him to advertise for the unpaid taxes.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders. The second.
Second
by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. So moved.
And for the reappraisal update, 2028 is our reappraisal year, once every 8 years. We're going to be starting that next month with field visits. Those will be started in the western part of the county, moving east. We're starting out hopefully to do about 500 parcels a month and adjust it if needed. We will be notifying people in those areas of when that's going to be happening. The appraisers will have county identification. Vehicles will be marked for Pertee County reappraisal.
We'll approve that.
Sir? We'll get out as much notice as we can, county website, Facebook, whatever. That's where we're at on that. So, then the next 3 weeks, we'll be starting.
Yes, sir.
I would just say tell your guys and people that are out there to be very careful, be very aware, and just let people know what, even with the marked cars and all of that.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as it used to be. It's a dangerous job out there now.
It is. And we will respect no trespassing and private property signs. For those accounts, we'll do what we can to get a hold of the taxpayer to allow us to own the property. If that doesn't happen, we have ways of getting our values, but we would prefer to go on site visit.
Can we do an all call as well?
Yes, yes. Actually, I've talked to JW about that. We'll get that done. So we can isolate that one area that we're working in.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Mr. Joder.
Thank you.
All right. Next line item, Pertee County ABC Board update by Mr. Tim Bazemore. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think it's only fit and proper that you do get an update, and I hope I haven't left anything, any information out of those packets. I kind of put them together a little hastily this afternoon. But let me start off by saying that in the last few months, we've implemented some really great changes at the ABC board. Number one, we implemented a check and balance system to make sure deposits are done on time and they're done accurately. Number two, we've implemented a inventory control system that's tied in with the computer system and current inventory. So we'll make sure we have adequate count, make sure we don't have any dwindling inventory there. Also, on that, if you look in the folder, and on the first sheet, and I just copied this brown bag. That's what it was. And basically, that is where Wake County, that's the money that Wake County gives back, Wake County ABC system gives back to the county. And, it's up in the millions. Obviously, we're not Wake County, but that doesn't say we can't do better than what we're doing. Okay. On the second sheet, where it says a profit and loss, liquor sales, and I won't hit all these numbers with you, but this is for the month of December. Liquor sales were 157,000 roughly. Then if you look under there should be a red asterisk mark. $35,000 of that went directly back to the state of North Carolina. It's North Carolina excise tax that religiously goes there every month. Then you look purchase of liquor, $89,000. And then there's the bailment and surcharge. Bailment and surcharge is what it costs to get the liquor in there for that particular time. So the gross profit for December was $29,000 roughly.
salaries were $17,000. So, and total expense, $35,000. We lost $5,000. A lot of that, if you're familiar with business at all, comes through inventory. So some months is up, some months is going to be down, just depending on how much you order, how much you sell. But when you look at the overall scheme of things and realizing how much goes out, there's not a lot left. To my knowledge, the ABC system here in the county is the only system that pays for own lights, repairs, insurance on the building, lawn maintenance, employees, pretty much everything except owning the building. And what's left is what you all are supposed to be getting every quarter. And I won't go into what was about that, but that will be going forward. You will be having that every quarter. Now, the second, the third page, similar to this, if you look on it, I underlined what Bertie County sales were in the month of, this just happened to be October, which was 115,000. Then we look at some of the other counties, neighboring counties, Hereford, 292,000. Currituck, 550. Edgecombe, 626. Gates, very small, 115,000. So in comparison to other counties, we're really low. We're missing the boat somewhere. You follow me? This is a large county. Now, this is where we are. And this is what we need. Yes, sir.
Oh, no, go. I was just thinking about it.
There's very little money that the local system actually keeps. Because all these things have to be paid. These numbers that you see that are printed, they come from our auditors, our bookkeepers. So they're actual, they're factual. There's not a lot we can do about it. However, we are due, the county is due to receive a check from what profits we do have. It wasn't a lot from last year. I don't have it with me. I think about $35,000. Now, this is what we're looking at going forward. Our employees are grossly underpaid. $12 an hour. General manager, $15 an hour. Manager, the lowest paid manager, as I understand it, in the county. So there's some room for adjustment for those, but there's not a lot of gravy left. Then, in order to keep up with the trend and to do what we need to do, the only thing we can do to offset it is to expand. Now, over on the western part of the county in the Lewiston area, we're bleeding to Hereford, Northampton, Martin County. That is a tremendous bleed. I would dare say if another we had another store in that area, it'd probably produce probably 125%, maybe 50 of what we're doing here in Windsor because so many places and so spaced out. This is what I would put before you tonight. The little money that we do have, we need to invest, and I didn't, it's a few things I didn't go over, but some of this money goes back to the county as well. So ABC system keeps virtually nothing. We need to sort of keep it and challenge it back into the system, to reinvest in the system. Now, I think there was a board meeting some time ago, but there was some question about the quarterly money being paid back to you. Again, that's no problem. They do have, general manager do have that in the safe to deliver. However,
they'll take it.
If you look at this last sheet, and I've highlighted, and it says, unless some other distribution or other schedule is provided by for the law, if the governing body, which would be you all, of each city and county receiving revenue from the ABC system agrees, these governing bodies may alter at any time the distribution to be made under this subsection of any other local act. So I say that to say.
So what you're trying to say is, I think rather than y'all give us the money, that y'all keep the money, build a store, buy some land or something, and then increase your revenue?
Bingo. Yes, sir. And it, and a few years ago, there used to be five stores, and they closed because they had all full-time employees. The general manager came in, he had to pay the benefits and everything else. He came in and reduced it to part-time, and that eliminated the benefits, and it really helped move forward. So that is actually what we need. And if you all would be so kind, we let the county lawn keepers and air, heat and air people help maintain you all building, that would be another relief.
Well, we can't give you all of it. We can give you some of it.
Well, all you give, we're thankful.
Okay.
If you give what I ask first, I'll shut up about the second. So if y'all would consider that, we'd be forever thankful.
But,
and we move forward and help put things back into the county, like Wake County.
Mr. Baden, I have a friend who's on the state ABC board, and, you know, across the state of North Carolina, ABC stores are losing money. Mecklenburg County is the biggest money maker in ABC in the state of North Carolina. Constantly making millions and millions of dollars. But, and that, well, you know, this, but I hear what you're saying, and you know, I, believe it or not, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, and let me just say that to you. If you operate, this system here in the county is small, the county is poor,
yeah,
but it has been operated efficiently. And that's the key to any business, even to your local county owned non-emergency services. If you operate efficiently, you can operate very well.
Yeah, because from Gates County to Pitt County, there's not an ABC store on Highway 11.
Right.
And we don't move fast.
I will say that, you know, I understand it's an entity that's self-sustaining. It takes care of itself. And the more you have to invest back into yourself, the more successful you should be. And then we could even possibly, at a later time, revisit once, you know, things get better, revenue increase. We can revisit, you know, maybe a few years down the road, and possibly you all could get back to contributing if we decide to go this route. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. But I don't see a problem with a self-sustaining entity, you know, being able to invest back into itself. You're not asking us for anything on our side. You know, you're asking us to give, you know, to give up a receipt of funds, but I think it's worth it in the long run.
And Mr. Chairman, the other thing is, I mean, Berkeley County, we need all the revenue we can get coming to our county. And I mean, I know how some people feel, but the quickest way to do that right now is what Mr. Bazemore was talking about. It's already there. And please forgive me, Lord, but people are going to buy their liquor and people are going to drink their liquor. It's a fact. They're going to buy the liquor. They did, during COVID, the governor didn't even shut the ABC store down because people who drink on a constant basis, can you imagine what would happen if they had shut those stores down? The emergency rooms would have been full. Now, I mean, we laugh a little bit, but that's true. Seizures, shakes. I'm sorry. That's what it's all about.
Well,
So I have a question. I'm sorry, Mr. Bazemore.
Sure.
All right, so this thing just says that we don't have to do it quarterly, right? This is saying you can pay us one time a year if we allow you.
Okay. As I read, my interpretation, you all can direct it as you see fit. Now, my thoughts is to just simply give you a quarterly report. But if y'all say, hey, we may retain it, because I think I've told those members of the board that 100% transparency is absolute must. So.
Right. So I guess my question is, you were asking us to not take the funds, but I thought the funds, and I don't know, hear me clearly, this is our question.
Okay.
I thought by law y'all had to give us a certain percent. That's not, like, where was this percentage coming from?
I'm not sure how it all works.
Yeah, me.
But the auditors have it, and that's why they get that $35,000 every month. Now, some years ago, before that happened, it was live in 100% in the county, and the county manager could say, hey, send me $20,000, and boom, you had to send it. But now that's not the case. So
right.
Basically, what we give you all is any profits. Yes. And there's not a lot there because you have to pay so many other things. I didn't go into it, but I have no problems getting your sheet so you know where every dime is.
Right. Now, the reason I ask is because, like, y'all control everything yourself, like how much they make and everything. Y'all are not a county. Am I wrong? Y'all are not a county agency. Isn't that correct? Y'all are
controlled by the North Carolina ABC Board. They set the price. We cannot set
the price. Not the price of liquor. How much people get paid? You had said, like, they get paid 13 and 15. So, like, but that would eat up, like, if you increased it. I mean, that's up to y'all to do. But if you do that, that eats away the profit anyway that you're asking us to
a degree,
give that back to you. So that's what I'm saying. Like, y'all control what y'all's profit really is anyway, if that makes sense.
Right.
I mean.
Right. See, what we have to do, and this is what has to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, last year this time, people employees making $10 an hour. So $10 an hour.
Not even living wage. Oh,
well. Then it went up to 12. Which I was still shocked. That was in June. I think it went on in July. But so we have to balance the amount that we pay, and then we have to encourage them to do suggestive selling so we can get our sales up. And then in the meantime, whatever other profit we can gain, then we can invest it into another store. And hopefully, we will become more profitable.
No, I know we will. Most baseball, but we have another school. Especially there, all that 30,000 people coming from Purdue, moves to where we're involved with other companies and factories behind it. A lot of we could catch a lot of income coming from that.
Right.
You need more feathers on the chicken.
And people are going to buy it anyway.
So what
Mr. Tillman is asking us is to allow them to withhold the funds.
Some of them, not all of them. We gotta have a little something coming in. Can't give it all.
But I'm telling you what he asked.
I know what he asked. I understand. You gotta ask, but you have not because you asked not. But I think that's something we can negotiate, don't you?
We are thankful for whatever,
be generous.
Because,
we'll be generous.
You know, we're at your all mercy, mm-hmm. but the revenue that we produce is at your mercy also.
Yeah. I think most people know that their 40s need to go for employees, $12, and cut it for people working.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think the board, your board need to kind of give your employees an increase first.
Well, actually, that is something that I have been fighting for.
It needs to be met.
But they have been there. They've been in place for quite a while. And what I suggested to the manager was, hey, let's give them some incentive. So at the end of the year, if our sales are up, then we can do some type of bonus. So they won't be lackadaisical to just sit there. And what I found, and I don't want to burn year tonight, but what I found, I do collect a little bourbon, and when I attend some of these other stores around, when you go in, back up the aisle, one time, somebody's going to say, what can I help you with? What can I help you find? We got this, we got that. We don't really have that in Bertie County, because you can't blame them for $10 an hour, just standing. So we have to encourage that, so we have to develop some type of method to make that happen.
Okay. And Mr. Bates, I want to do what I can to help. But, we need a little money coming into the county as well. And at the same time, we want to help you and the ABC board expand and get some money as well, too.
Look, if you just help us this one time,
then
going down the road, we won't ask for anything soon.
Okay.
What we'll do is we'll move this to our work session that's upcoming, and we'll finish the discussion then, so we'll have a chance to
appreciate
discuss. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Bazemore. Yes, sir. Next line item, project updates by Ms. Robin Payne. How you doing, Ms. Robin?
I'm good. How are you all?
Good.
Fine. Okay. So tonight, my focus is to talk about the new design for Bertie Beach. Remember the last time I was here, we were way over in our estimates of what our grants are that we already have in place. So the engineers, this is what we redesigned. So we have we took away the parking. We'll rely on the parking that's by the existing pavilion. And then we moved the driveway so it's directly across from where the stone shed is right now. So by doing that, we reduced a lot of the grading that was necessary.
Ms. Payne, I'm sorry. Since we have so many here tonight, could you go up and point? Just put your cursor on where the map, and you know, so people understand your map. Though.
So what we're trying to do is first be, but bring them, you can do a second pavilion and a stage, and we're trying to sit in that footprint of funding. So our estimates we were just coming in too high.
No money. So,
pardon me?
Oh, I was saying that's another money maker that's sitting there waiting to be.
Yeah, getting there. All right. So when you come into Bertie Beach, you're coming in that main road. You've just crossed the ponds. You're coming up here. You're making that left, coming into the field. Cursor doesn't want to do it. All right. You're turning left, and dead ahead, you see the pavilion that's there, the parking that's on the left. So what you're going to do is keep driving, and then the pull in. The new pavilion is going to be here. This is all of our ADA. This is a semi-solid surface, not asphalt, but it's not gravel either. And then right here, we'll have electric connection for food truck pull-ups. This is the pavilion. It's like a 30 by 72. And then this red line right here is the requirement to go out to the overlook, which was a prior requirement that we met in phase one. And then all of this would be landscaping. And then this is the stage, which is a 20 by 30 foot stage. It's up three risers, so like 24 inches. And then this is, it has an ADA ramp coming in the back. And then here's parking. Here, gonna put in concrete blocks for parking for the camping spots that are there, the primitive spaces. So I think we're close enough in our estimates that are coming in that we can go to bid. So the bid package is done. If you're okay with this, so we would issue packages. Well, we would have a site meeting on the 17th, so within the next 2 weeks, we'd send the packages out. And then they would be due sealed bids on the 31st. So if we stick to that timeline, and then my permits, I have to submit them at the same time that bid package goes out. So I need to sit with Juan and make sure that I get your signature, okay, because it's an online submission. And then next week, we start shoreline stabilization. So we've got 75 cypress trees coming in. And then the core logs will be delivered. And that's at the base of the cliff. And then closer to the mid-March, we have 30 feet in the top of the cliff. We'll be seeding and doing plugs for vegetation because Chipot, remember, they told us no to planting bushes in pots because of archaeological impact. So we spent a lot of time finding plants and products.
So you need this for tonight? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. We'll go ahead and submit the packages.
Yeah, we need a motion on the floor to allow her to go ahead and submit the packages.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Hoggett, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Move forward, Ms. Payne.
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, next line item. Employee of the quarter year process by Human Resources.
Don't everybody at the one time.
Director, Ms. Boone. Cole Boone.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
How are you all doing? This process with the of the year, and want to look at also the combination of the in and out.
Thank you.
So, thank you. So.
So we are looking to, you know, try to recognize our employees who do a wonderful and outstanding job here at Whitburg County. So that's our main purpose for implementing the employee of the quarter last year, just to show them how much we appreciate their dedication and commitment to Burke T. County and its citizens. Just a quick overview: to be eligible for the employee of the quarter slash year, an employee must be a full-time or part-time permanent employee, and the employee must not be on probationary status or on a performance improvement plan. And also, an employee may be designated as employee of the quarter only once during a calendar year. Just for the procedures, so we would have Burke T. County employees to nominate an employee for the award, and the nomination form is attached to what I handed out to you all. And they would have to be nominated on criteria of job performance, customer focus, safety, integrity, and leadership. We are looking for the awards to be given out at the beginning of April, July, October, and January. Employees are to submit the nomination forms to me no later than 5 p.m. on the specific date that I give them to submit, to have it submitted to me as well. And then we will have an employee of the quarter selection committee that will review all nominations. So if an employee is accepted, is nominated and given the employee of the quarter, the award that we're looking to give them is like a $100 monetary award, a certificate. They will be recognized at the commissioner's meeting, and they will be have an opportunity to be selected among the four for the employee of the quarters will be able to be accepted, selected to go forth to the employee of the year. And for the employee of the year award, an employee of the year, the full-time staff will receive 1 day of vacation with pay. Part-time permanent staff will receive 1 shift day with pay. They will get a plaque. The employee of the year will receive a plaque, be recognized at the commissioner's meeting. And then we would do they'll be invited to attend the annual employee of the year winners breakfast / lunch with the county manager. And then we're going to get a plaque to display in the administrative building, and their name will go on the plaque. And also, this is the nomination form that employees will have to fill out and return back to me to nominate employees for the employee of the quarter slash year. So it's just something that, you know, I really want to reward our employees for the wonderful job that they're doing here with Berkeley County.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Bones. This is wonderful.
Any questions?
Yep.
So we'll be looking forward to seeing y'all in April for our first employee of the quarter.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bones. All right, now we will have our budget amendments by Finance Director, Mr. Willie Carroll.
Good evening, Commissioners. You all have a copy of the budget amendment for today. There are two basic items within this budget amendment. One is for the Register of Deeds, and one is for the Sheriff's Department. The Register of Deeds had a large excise tax collection. It was not in the budget to make the payment, so we have increased the revenues to reflect additional revenues that came in, so then we can make the disbursement to the state. And that budget amendment is for $100,000. Your next one is for the concealed weapon permits. Those are fees that are collected by the Sheriff's Department, and then a portion goes back to the state. In the past, it appears that the disbursement has always come out of the same revenue line, not the offsetting expenditure line as it should be. This budget amendment separates the revenues and the expenditures. The problem with it was that the excise tax was budgeted, however, the expenditure wasn't. So the budget amendment is going to include a fund balance appropriation to offset that. Excuse me, I did not have to use the fund balance to offset that revenue, but we had some additional earnings on investments that we used to offset it. Had we not had that additional revenue, we would have had a budget fund balance.
Okay. So we need a motion on the floor to approve the amendment to the Register of Deeds and the Sheriff's Department, correct?
Correct.
So move, Mr. Chair, that we met budget amendments.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson. The second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Okay.
Aye. All opposed, nay.
The other item, I believe y'all wanted an update on the audit. The trial balance is submitted. The auditors have pulled their samplings. We're pulling those now to submit back to them, hopefully by the end of the week. There are a couple of other items. Every time we submit data from them or to them, within the next couple of days, they submit another batch of items for us to provide for them. So we've got about seven items that right now we're currently working back to them.
Ms. Carroll,
the auditors are still planning to have the audit completed in the month of April.
Which audit?
The
23. 24. Uh-huh. And 25, has that been submitted?
No, they finally have created a portal so we can start uploading those documents now.
Okay.
Commissioner Hall. My question, I guess I need to ask you. There's still concealed weapon law in the state of North Carolina?
Concealed weapons? I believe so.
It is? It is. You can feel weapon permit.
Yeah, I got one. I had one.
I thought they just did away with it. You just carried them and do it.
No.
Not in the state of North Carolina.
Nope, because I believe every 2 years I had to get mine up. I had to get renewed.
That one is still in the back of my truck, but I haven't gotten it taken care of.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willis.
Okay.
All right. We will now be moving along. There are no board appointments, so we will now go to the consent agenda. Approve the January 5th, 2026 open and closed regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White. Is there a second? Second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So moved. Okay. Next line item. To approve the September 29th, 2025 closed session minutes. Amendment to be amended. Is there a motion on the floor?
So move.
We have a motion on the floor. Is that Vice Chair Hall?
Yes.
Is there a second? Second. There's a motion on the floor to approve the September 29th, 2025 closed session minutes with the amendment. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Nay.
So moved. Next line item, approve the December 2025 and January 2026 register of deeds report.
So moved.
That's motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve the December 2025 tax release journal.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Other line items, the discussion agenda. 1008 North King Street property, bid update.
Commissioners, this property is the former Teetridge, also known as the former Good Shepherd Food Pantry. The latest bid that we received on this property was in the amount of $65,000. Following that bid, we got a deposit of 5% from the bidder, advertised in the local newspaper for a 10-day upset bid. We did not receive any upset bids on this property, so this bid of $65,000 is before the commissioners one final time so that the attorneys and the bidder can finalize this arrangement so that that property can be conveyed to the bidder.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor to accept the bid of $65,000.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to accept $65,000 for 1008 North King Street property. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, consideration of offer to purchase 306 West Main Street, Atlanta.
Commissioners, on page 36 of your agenda packet, which is agenda item D2, you will see a letter. Which includes an offer to purchase the property located at 306 West Main Street in Orlando. And that bid is for $12,349.99. This was a foreclosure that the county acquired. It has been on our books for some time. And if the board accepts this bid tonight, again, it will do similar to the 1008 North King Street property, where we will get a deposit of 5% from the bidder. We will advertise in the local newspaper for an upset period of 10 days. If there is no upset bid period, then it'll come back before you again for one final time. And if there are upset bids, the process will continue until there are no longer any upset bids.
Okay. So we need a motion on the floor to consider.
We do.
So moved.
All right. Got a motion on the floor by Commissioner White. Second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor to move forward with the consideration of the offer to purchase 306 West Main Street, Orlando. Let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right. Consideration of the highest responsible bids for camper trailers.
Commissioners, as you know, this was something that was we've talked about some time ago, but it finally took place. Trailer campers that were left that some of our tornado survivors actually used back when we experienced Hurricane Isaias. And of course, some of those campers have been donated. We've received another high bid on a previous camper, but two campers remain. And on page 42 of your board packet, it highlights or shows you the bidders on those two camper trucks. So you will see for camper trailer one, we have a high bidder. So that high bidder will need to, we would need to accept that bid.
Let's go ahead and do that one first.
Okay. So that will be the first one up for discussion. Camper trailer number one, the high bid was $2,500.
Okay. So there are motion on the floor to accept the the highest bid of $2,500 on camper one.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
So we accept the bid on camper one.
Now on to camper trailer two. There were actually three bids. on this particular camper trailer. However, the two highest bids came in at a tie for $2,000. And so it's now before the board to decide how to move forward with the tie. And there are a couple of options, if you like, for the attorney or I can discuss what the options are for moving forward with this particular process at this time.
Please do so.
Okay. So one option is to totally put it back out, just like we did before, and allow everyone to bid on it. Another way is to have the attorney, Huddleston, as he did before, to basically negotiate a bid between the two highest bidders, where he could basically give them a deadline for submitting their highest bid. Since there were, you know, again, there were two high bidders because there was a tie, it can be limited to those two bidders.
I like the second option, but it's a discussion of the board.
I like the second option. That's fine.
I mean, that's fine with me. Those two, just those two.
Just those two, because they seem like the only two had inches in it from the beginning.
Okay, so do we need a motion on that?
If you would, please, yes, to solidify the process. If you would please make it a motion, and then that way Attorney Huddleston will know exactly how to move forward with the.
Okay, we need a motion on the floor to allow the attorney to move forward with a.
So moved.
So addressing the two highest bidders to negotiate the bid. We have a motion by Vice Chairman Hargett, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
I abstain. My organization is one of the six. I abstain.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Saunders. All right, next line item. Consideration of the standards of care in animal tethering ordinance referendum. And what we mean by the referendum, with after giving this a lot of thought, a lot of discussion, hearing all the concerns from the citizens and all the concerns of those that have eyes, we as a board have considered putting this on the ballot to a lot of citizens to decide way to go with this. So we need a motion on the floor from the board to allow this to go, to allow this to go on the board, and we let the citizens of the county decide how they want this tethering law carried out. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson. Is that second? Second by Commissioner Bounce. All in favor?
I'll make that second.
You got
I'll make
got,
that second.
Okay. Withdraw mine and second back Vice Chairman Hargett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So moved.
Chairman.
Yes. Yes. To include, maybe let me backtrack.
And I don't think the motion needs to be amended, but just for the public's information, right. I think that was a concern, and we just said that we would discuss that as well.
Yes, and the advisory board, we need to combine the advisory board along with this referendum, so it'll be one entire decision made by the citizens. Okay,
is that what you're?
In other words, if we decided, depending on which way it goes, and to correct me if I'm wrong, an advisory board would be needed if it go one way. It won't be needed if it goes another way, right?
Well, I think that's debatable.
That's
I think
that's the discussion
that,
we should be having right now.
I'm trying to understand how, as like you appoint the commissioners for the jail, commissioners for this, how can you allow the citizens to be the appointing body, which is our responsibility? I need that explained to me because I'm not understanding it.
Table the advisory board to the work session.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, right. Chair.
We'll move forward. All right, animal shelter.
Commissioners, the last time this was discussed was a regular meeting in January, and at that time we discussed how the to be approved on our end. The plan, the drawings, which is what I'm referring to, or plans have been approved on our end. At this point, we are need to get a permit to move forward, and as well as moving forward with the concrete pad. Once the permit is obtained, they will shelter planners will put the shelter in production. Which, so we're still looking, the production time is 8 to 12 weeks, so we're still looking at the month of May for an animal shelter, new animal shelter in Bertie County. And so things are on track, and we plan to ensure that is done.
Okay. Everybody satisfied with that update? All right. Next line item, discussion of assistant county manager position. I think we need to move forward with it, but I need y'all's input.
Do we have it in the, I know we don't have it in the budget, but did we put it, we did have it in the budget, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, it's absolutely in the budget.
Afford it with all the shortfalls that we're having.
It's in the budget, so absolutely, yes, sir.
We can't afford not to, because as you know, by not having one, more work's going to fall upon Tanya, more work's going to fall upon Juan, and more work's going to fall behind. And I talked with the association, people at the association who came down, and I talked with them, and they were telling me. I understand, because I was one of the first ones to say, oh, that's money we can save. But you're not saving money if your study falling behind another project. The things are getting farther and farther behind in the county.
Okay, so we need a motion on the floor to move forward with the assistant county manager position.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson. Second.
A second.
Second by Vice Chair Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, we'll move forward. All right, line item number 7, NACO 2026 Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C., February 21st through the 24th. Let me be the first to speak. The chairman is not going. I want to make sure I get that out there. Everybody heard it.
Chairman of the board. Chairman of the board.
Yes, sir.
Ron Robertson, Commissioner Robertson, is not going.
I'm going. I'm the vice chair.
Okay.
Don't go, you don't know.
You know, we have budgeted for it, so anybody feel free to go. It's no pressure. No pressure on it. I just need to put it.
I think the next one, next year, is going to be in November. I think one thing what we need to do is stop worrying about where these meetings are being held, because a lot of times you need to go there. If you don't go, you don't know. Now, we don't decide where they're going to hold these meetings.
Right.
We don't have anything to do with it. But if they're going to be held in Maui, they're going to be held in Texas, they're going to be held. If you don't go, you don't know. And you know where we are right now in Berkeley County? We need all the help we can get.
That's
right.
You,
John. So,
but that was on the agenda for us to make available. Next line item is Commissioner's report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Robson.
I sure always share about AI. Be very careful how you utilize AI, because it's not being regulated. Anytime anything is not being regulated, you know, might throw you off balance or put you in a place that you don't want to be.
All right. Vice Chair Hall.
I don't have anything. Just know that February is a very important month. And I say that not because it's Black History Month, because of the month that I was born. But it is Black History Month, and please be aware of that. And just wanted to say that. Matter of fact, if you didn't notice the prayer that I said, the last stanza came from the Negro National Anthem. So I just want you to know that as well. So.
All right. Commissioner White?
I don't have anything.
Commissioner Saunders?
the Economic Development Board met with Allison. She has some great ideas moving forward with the economic development and ideas about working with the, what is that, data center? She and Lewis Hoggart are meeting with some individual,
Mayor Lewis Hoggart,
concerning the data centers. Mideast Regional Housing Authority, we have all units are filled. We flipped 3 units. We have 5 homeless people that we serve in Berkshire County. The Black History Banquet will be on February the 26th, hoping this entity will get a table. Everybody's invited. We have a young man in the county who's in the 10th grade who's going to be our keynote speaker. Excellent young man. His name is Carmelo Gillum, CJ. He's traveling all over the county. The Hive Educational Vitality Center is doing soup and sandwiches every Tuesday and Thursday. During the snowstorm, we have been officially recognized as a warming center and providing assistance with warming. Also, we provide straw, food, and materials for the animals in the community. And the warming center also invites pets at the warming center. The Hive nonprofit has established the Animal Rescue Educational Society for Berkshire County, and this is under the Hive nonprofit. We will be working with PETA, providing education to pet owners and families in the community. Some of the things that we will be doing, we will be talking about proper tethering, proper feeding, proper bedding of animals. That's all I have.
Okay, and I would just like to remind everybody to get out and vote, regardless of who you vote for, get out and vote, because your vote matters, okay? We have early voting going on now. We encourage you to get out to your local voting stations and vote.
People die for our right to vote.
County manager's report.
Commissioners, I have 2 brief items. The first item is a letter of resignation recently received from Mr. Michael Freeman, who submitted his letter of resignation effective immediately from the Berkshire County ABC Board. The second item is an update on the Berkshire County Public Schools request of $836,000 to be transferred from the school capital reserve fund. So basically, I received a letter from the superintendent requesting those funds, and I followed up with the letter indicating that those funds had been spent on school debt pursuant to North Carolina General Statute. So a meeting was scheduled for December 9th with representatives from the county and Berkshire County Public Schools to include the chair, vice chair, finance officers, superintendent, county manager, and the attorneys. But that meeting was canceled due to the threat of inclement weather. So finance officer Willie Mack here, and I met with Dr. Smallwood and his finance director, Ms. Charlene Jones, on January 9th. During that meeting, Dr. Smallwood stated that the Board of Education's attorney confirmed school capital reserve funds can be expended on school debt. Following the meeting, the Board of Education requested that I attend an upcoming Board of Education meeting to show and explain how the funds were used. And Attorney Smith had a conflict during the January meeting and also during the February meeting. So when the Board of Education in the month of February, I requested for Dr. Smallwood to let the Board of Education know that we definitely still plan to provide that information. However, there are options. So since it has been a certain length of time at this point, so one option was, number one, to attend the March Board of Education meeting. Granted, everyone could attend. Second option would be simply to have a joint meeting between the two boards if the boards were agreeable to that. Thirdly, moving the meeting as initially planned, which included chair, vice chair, attorneys, superintendent, county manager, and finance officers. So following that meeting, I followed up with Dr. Smallwood, and he indicated that the Board of Education would be fine with us submitting something in writing explaining exactly where the funds went. Right. And if they had any questions about it, they could request our presence or my presence at an upcoming meeting. So that's exactly what we plan to do, and we'll keep you posted on how that goes.
Okay. So we thank you so much, because we do know that was a sensitive matter, the update on that, and we hope that update has reached the satisfaction of those that requested it. At this time, we will have the county attorney's report. Okay. All right, so now we have come to that part of the meeting where we open back up for 3-minute comments. Are there any more public 3-minute comments? Please state your name, sir.
Good evening. I'm Jacques Turner, representing MedEx Medical Transport. Do want a little bit of a rebuttal on some of the things with the county. Well, first thing you said tonight, you need all the revenue you have. You can. With bringing business into county, it does. With the county being out, as far as a need, there obviously is a need. What we are asking for, into consideration, was just to be able to fill the contract. We would have awarded the exclusive contract for all of the ECU hospitals for discharges, things of that sort, versus them flying everybody out. We would do a whole lot more of that. The transport versus them coming in, East Care. But MedEx has been, we've been a friend of Berkshire County long before us asking for anything. He mentioned something about a big company, big, you know, we are the largest independent ambulance company in North Carolina now. We're not by far like some of them, they have, you know, stock market and everything else, but we do. We have a lot of things. But we did have Berkshire County. There was a time when Berkshire County never had a dog in a fight, was in a situation, and I wouldn't like anybody to, you know, not know the meeting, but, you know, to tell you, and you can look in your documentation, it's from 2013, and you'll see where we stepped up to the plate and helped with no, you know, no pre-quo quo or anything of that sort at that time. But at this point, we just want to fulfill our contract. We want to be able to do our transports for ECU. We want to have the respect that, and we do. You know, anything we do is to another level. The chairman of the board, he knows that. He knows what type of thing we have a business in Berkshire County, and it would be nice to actually have here with a Berkshire County increasing their taxes to 1.03. It's not a big difference, but it's just across the line. It does look better. Their county taxes has increased, I think it's 1.03 now for Hertford County. So just a little bit makes a big difference. So I would love to be able to consider us in our application to operate in the county for Berkshire, so we can obviously fill our contract with ECU Health Center.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jopp. Any more public comments? Yes, sir. Pastor Ray? Please state your name, sir, when you get to the mic. Okay.
Dr. David Ray of Growing Together Ministry in Lewiston, Woodville. You know, I've been public speaking for 44 years, but this is the first time I feel nervous tonight. And normally I'm gone by this time. I normally come regular. But something alarmed me tonight. Just 4 years ago, in the town of Lewiston Woodville, which is a population of 414 people, we went through this about wanting that ABC store set beside that Duck 3. Over 50 people showed up. Miles Davis was there. John Trent was there. And we were all in agreement. It was a big no 4 years ago. We have enough marijuana coming from the cars that sit at the Dollar General and sit at that Duck Through regular. And how I know, I live there and I go to the Duck Through and I go to the Dollar General regular. If you want another ABC store because you have the authority, you do, and I know you do, please do not bring it to Lewiston Woodville town limits. I consider alcohol, as I said 4 years ago, just like crack cocaine. If you get on it, unless Jesus touches your heart, you don't get off of it. And I'm just begging you, I know we need more money. I'm for Burke T. County, sir. I'm for Burke T. County, and I love this town and this county, which is Lewiston Woodville. But please, I know you're talking about Purdue. Yes, it's a lot of traffic that's coming through our town, and they're messing up our roads too. And I wish they'd help us pay for fixing our roads from Purdue. But please, if you want it, go to some land outside our town limits. We just had our Dollar General robbed just 2 weeks ago. He got no publicity. The cashiers were scared to death. Two masked folks walked in there and robbed our Dollar General. It didn't ever hit a newspaper unless I missed it or anywhere. It was no attention to that. But our town is on the rise, and we don't need an ABC store. If you're talking 2 years out, if you're talking 6 months out, if you want it, please go buy the land outside of the town. Please don't hurt us no more than we're already hurt. Please don't hurt us no more than we already hurt, Mr. Ogden. I know this county needs the money. We're in a mess financially, but please don't hurt the town I love and started pastoring in 1985, and then I came back here just 5 years ago. Yes, I started pastoring in that town 1985 and left, and God brought me back 5 years ago. So it'll tell you something. I love Lewiston Woodville. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. Any more public comments?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Pamela Shambly. The last time I was here, I talked about the lack of chairs, and I'm back one more time. When you have a large crowd, could we please have some extra chairs in the building? Thank you, and you all have a good night.
Thank you, Ms. Pam.
You got a seat.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. My name is Earl Hoggard. I've lived in the county all my life, 43 years. I have a couple of questions for you to put a tether in laws. Every PETA picture that I've seen has been from Now Nurse and Now Water. No water, no food. There's already laws for that. How are we going to, if we create another law, how are we going to make sure that law is being abided by when we got laws that are already not being abided by? So my question is, of course you put it out for public vote, and I feel like that's the fairest way there is, but there's something that we need, you need as a head, is to look at that. I mean, we've got two animal control officers, and bless their heart, they don't have any supervisor right this minute. Mr. Vaughn has stepped up as a supervisor because their assistant county manager is no longer there.
That's why we need.
But buddy, let me tell you how big Burke T. County is. I ride it all over every. There two people managing all this, all these guys in here that had dogs. I bet there's 2,000 dogs in this room, hound dogs, pets. That's a lot to manage with just two people. That's what we need to look at. How are you going to manage? Let's feed the dog. Let's make sure the dog's getting the right shelter. But we don't need a million-dollar organization coming in here and taking a picture of one out of every 7,000 that are malnourished. If there's one dog that's malnourished, there's 7,000 that are not. You understand? So they're going to make it and blow it up. If they got that one dog, they're going to blow it up like it's the biggest thing in the world, and they're going to put it out on the street and make us look bad. That's embarrassing to me. Man, I've had dogs all my life. My little girl's got a dog. She takes care of that thing better than anything in the world. Man, don't embarrass me on my own street corner. This is my street corner. You're from somewhere else. Go somewhere else. But don't punish the public for one bad apple. Don't punish the public for one bad apple. There's way more that ain't bad, I promise. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Yes. Uh-huh.
As many of you know, I'm the mayor of Kelford. We had a ice storm and snow event last week. the western part of Bertie County has been getting forgotten about shelters and things like that in place. I talked to Red Cross a couple of days before the ice storm hit to see what the plan was in place to prepare our citizens of what was going on. Talked to them, there was nothing in place for the western part of Bertie County. It was something in place for Bertie High School. For an older person on the other end of the county to drive away to Bertie High School, if they didn't have lights or anything like that, it's kind of crazy to me, especially an older person driving at night and in bad weather trying to get to a shelter. Thanks to the HAV, me and another mayor and Commissioner Saunders got together to help the town of Iolanda when they was out to try to help the citizens out. But I do want you guys to look at the bigger picture in the county for the western part of the county whenever events and stuff like this happen. Please don't forget about us because we feel there should be more dedication sites in the county other than Bertie High School. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn.
Thank you. Good point.
To just comment on that, one of the, because county manager made a great effort to find proper resources for shelters, but in order to do so, it had to be a place that had capabilities of having a generator. And the problem on that side is there's no facilities that have generators that can operate.
We have a big generator.
Right, you're talking about one entity. Okay. What about the rest of Western Bertie County? You know.
Okay.
So you know, we thank God for the HAV and Commissioner Saunders' site, but the rest of the areas, do you know of any? Because we can't even reach out if we don't have generator resources. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And my thing through the years, this stuff should have been addressed many decades ago.
Right.
And thanks to Lewis and Woodville with the HAV and stuff. Thanks for their help. But whatever you guys need for us to try to make that end successful, maybe we can go out and try to get a generator on the community because I can house, in my community, I can house at least 15 to 25 people in my community.
Yeah.
That's a conversation we need to sit down and talk about so we can get this stuff addressed.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you brought it up because that's something that we definitely need to make the public aware of is we still have to have resources or good accommodations, even in the time of state emergencies. But we don't want to get somebody in a shelter and the lights go out, and it's now we got to figure out how we're going to keep them warm or how we're going to keep them water, you know. So we want to make sure we can get them in places. Right. And the county needs to know that, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Right.
You know?
That's a conversation we all need to sit down and talk and to address, you know. So when it do happen, I didn't know we couldn't do it because we didn't have a generator. Or right. I didn't know we couldn't do it because we didn't have the equipment.
Right.
And like with the smaller towns like that, we rely on the county. And I think there's some stuff in the plan to assist the small towns because we can't afford to keep up and get stuff like that done.
Right. So, right.
And I appreciate
you. And we thank you for that. And just so the public would know and the citizens would know, the reason that Bertie High School was set up as a shelter was not because they had a, because the light company worked with the county to give their word that if the power would go out, they would make the school, since it was a shelter, they would make it a top priority to get lights back on there. So that's that, and that was the only reason we were able to open the school as a shelter. That makes sense.
Gotcha.
And that's
and it is centrally located.
That's
I know people don't like that Windsor is where it's all at, but that is the center of the county to try to be fair to everybody. Like western part's forgotten, but nobody talks about.
Well, they should have built two high schools in Bertie County years ago,
but
one on NCN and one
to my that point, in District 2, there's no townships at all.
If a bullfrog had wings,
and
have
so like they also have to travel a distance to get there. But
well, at one time we had West Bertie and the high school at one time. So and I talked to Red Cross and they told me that the county would have to get that second one going. So at one time we did have two, and that helped out with Randall Rossman and Kelford for that end, and the high school helped out with Maryhill Corain. that's how it was set up a while back. So I don't know what changed or whatever like that.
Well, at least everybody have a better understanding of it. You know, we can discuss it going forward and try to make the county a better place during state of folks.
We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
Hey, yes, thank you. Thanks for the suggestion, man.
All right.
700 square.
Any miles. More public comment? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Also.
Oh, don't be. You're
fine. Just a little. I run a rescue. I'm not from your county. I think a lot of your county. I think a lot of Miss Vicky, Miss Diane, that does a lot at the Humane Society. I have pulled several dogs out of Bertie County. My husband, myself, and both of my children have come over and enclosed the Humane Society for several years. We have put reinforced plastic up. We have put 2x4s, screws, bolts, and nails to hold everything in to try to give them a blanket for the winter. We have actually even been there when the people that say they love their animals, and they do, but I just got done putting $4,900 in a beagle that come from Yells County that had no heartworm prevention. When they found out the dog was sick, they turned it over. So my thing is, I was here a couple of years ago with the meetings with Miss Vicky as well, and a shelter was in place then. As soon as that ambulance station gets built, we got a building. As soon as they get done, we've been watching. There's no building. Those dogs are laying out there in the cold. We have taken several of them at Christmas time just to have somebody. Have you guys ever been out to the Humane Society?
Not the Humane
Society. Sorry.
It's Virgin County.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so have you ever been out to where Miss Vicky is talking about?
Yes.
Yes. No, so you are aware of the situations that those dogs are in. And these people do the best that they could possibly do with everything that they have. And they need help. I've seen the houndsmen pull up, a lot of them pull up, and the rabies shot would be $8. And they would hand $10 bill and ask for their change back. How hard would it have been for that $2 to go back into that shelter to buy food? Just something little to make a difference. We have pulled a lot out and a lot of sick dogs. There was a couple of other rescues here earlier, and they left because they thought it was just we were done. But I just need to get in y'all's ear and your heart. Find yourself and find these animals. People say PETA comes in and takes one picture. It's happening all over. That's just the pictures that they have seen. So just please consider spending a little bit of time with them, getting them a shelter. That's all.
I got a question. Do other counties have this problem, or is it just Bertie?
Currituck County is where I'm from. Currituck County has a Taj Mahal. Our county provides for our animals and does not allow an animal to go without.
Currituck County and Bertie County, a whole hell of a lot different.
Yes, sir. I totally understand that. But that's what I'm saying, just bringing awareness
to the people.
That's
apples and orange.
I'm sorry?
That's like apples and orange. I'm just asking if there are other counties that have problems with the dogs like it's been depicted around here.
Mm-hmm. So before, Mr. Ricky Freeman was an outstanding animal control agent. When an animal come into that facility, he had a deadline. God forbid, I hate anything to die. He had a deadline. There are some dogs in our shelter that have been there for 5 years. They have spent thousands of dollars to transport it. We Ocho Arm County right now, there ain't no telling how much money just because he met that deadline, so we got to send him somewhere else. Why can't we manage it? God forbid, I hate anything to die. Anything that's got breath ought to have a chance. But 99, if you please don't take my word for it, you go to yourself. If you go to that animal shelter down there, most of them dogs there are there for a reason. They're vicious. Somebody couldn't afford
them. That's not true.
All right. Okay, we're gonna... Oh, shit. Cut this off, man.
All right.
Somebody
yeah.
Get this to
or they moved. When they moved, and he couldn't take a dog with him. Deadline is all we need to do. If we make the deadline, that's all we got to do.
Yeah.
Then we have less problems.
We're going to have to, move on from this, unfortunately. But we heard your voice.
Thank you.
You are the first pup comment. I think that was it, right? If she can speak, I'm not going to block her. I just want to make sure. I think she was on the first pup comment, so she can't go now. Am I correct?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. You could go.
For penny cookies. Super Penny Cook.
I want to make sure everybody's heard about it. I want to make sure I do it the right way. That's all.
Okay? There needs to be a change at Berkeley County Animal Control. There needs to be a deadline. I don't like to see any dog put to sleep. I hate it. I've taken dogs myself from the shelter and taken them to the vet and been with them when they've been put to sleep. You cannot hold a dog in a kennel for outrageous amounts of time. There is a person that is with Berkeley County Animal Control, or not Animal Control, Berkeley County Humane Society, who kind of, she is the one that decides on adoptions and so forth. This is the person that has put all these dogs into boarding. I agree, there needs to be a certain date for dogs to be put to sleep, because you can't hold them forever. Let's get animal control under control and give a deadline so that we're not, thousands and thousands of dollars are being donated for animal control for these dogs. That money could be better spent on spay and neuter, or cats and dogs. Holding them forever is ridiculous. I agree with that. We need some changes.
Thank you so much. Any more public comments? Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm Denise Wilcox. I live in Washington County, have property I own in Berkeley County. So I'm talking about is Washington County, we face the same thing Berkeley County. It goes from the issues with tethering to animals being dropped off, not cared for medically. We have the same problems. Right now, our animal shelter is not even working in commission right now. So I don't understand all of these small counties, and we have support, but it's here, here, and here. Have we ever gone together, multiple counties, the small ones, and resourced so we can have a larger
region? Said that.
Right. That's just because all of the small counties are doing this. It's the same problem everywhere. And like Brenda said, it's not just one picture. It's lots of pictures. I mean, I've done it for years and years, like a lot of people, and it's not one picture. And it's not all hunting dogs. It's everything. It's all the dogs. So I just, if you could even just kind of reach out to
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Any more public comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to come up here tonight. The tavern thing, we kind of decided what we're going to do. We're going to be on the ballot. But a comment I'd like to make is, the chains, the tethers, whatever you put on the dog is only as good as the owner. So the same deal with guns. We want to control gun control, but the guns don't kill people. The chains and tethers do not abuse the dog. It's the owner that's ministering care to that dog that he don't take care of. So we should allow our laws to weed out the people that don't need a dog. Nobody needs a dog that's not going to take care of. They need care just like we do, to be loved. But tell you a little story, kind of off subject, but I had a bunch of dogs at one time. And had some that climbed, would stay in the pen. Had them on chains. And they got along good, no problems. Getting tangled, you got to make sure you got the right kind. The swivels on them so they kink up, stuff like that. But when I'd go out hunting, I had my dogs trained, I'd open my pens. They would jump out the truck. Each one would jump in their pen. The dogs would go on the chain. Wouldn't go to other dog's chain, but he'd go to his chain, sit there and wait for it. So It's not if he had been scared of the chain, he wouldn't have went to his place. Well, I said all that to say that the chain is not the problem, just like the gun's not the problem. It's the owners that's not taking care of them, and that's what we need to be looking at. I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. And are there any more public comments? Okay. With there being none, at this time, we need a motion to go into closed session according to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3, 4, and 6. Is there a motion on the floor? Got a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to go into closed session. Is there a second?
Second.
Chairman Hoggett, all in favor? Saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We will now be going into closed session. To those that will be listening. We have a commissioner. I mean, we have a slow down, Cody. We have a motion to come out of Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Robbs. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We are officially out of closed session. Go use them HR schemes. Nah, turkey. Get out of here.
Stop saying that.
All right. We welcome everybody back to this side of the session. Is there anything we need to? Okay. At this time, we thank everyone again for being a part of our meeting. On February the 16th, we pray that everyone has a good evening and a safe trip home. We now need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion to adjourn by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Good evening, everyone. We're adjourned.